Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. I ask you for the moment we're in, that I would now be a part of the moment. You take possession of the words that I speak and thoughts that I think, and I would just be a vessel that you would pour out of yourself through me with words you are saying, thoughts you're thinking, and intents. You would move amongst us because, Jesus, you're here in the midst of us by the person and wonderful gift of Holy Spirit poured out upon us, that we would each of us encounter you as you uniquely are calling us into oneness, in union, into communion, into marriage, into wholeness. We now let go, as best we know how, of all the peripherals of life that are contending for our attention, demanding our service, our worship. We say no. Just give us this moment. Eyes on Jesus. We want to see you. We want to see you. Nothing else matters. No one else matters. All the things that are wrong are made right in you, or are dismissed because of you. We love you. Come, Holy Spirit. Make Jesus famous. Glorify him in our midst. Take what is his and announce it to us. And as Jesus said, all that the Father has are mine. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and announce it. We're asking you. We know you cannot speak on your own authority, but only what you hear Jesus say. And even Jesus sits at the right hand of majesty, waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool, given the rod of his strength out of Zion, ruled in the midst of his enemies. Yet he declares the decree, the Lord says to him. So we submit ourselves under this decree and under the sound, and long to hear what is heaven saying, what is Father speaking to the Son, and what is the Son announcing to the Spirit, and what is the Spirit making known to us, manifesting. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. I saw the Lord again this morning, high and lifted up, seated at his throne, his temple filled. I saw the Lord, as I've been practicing as much as I can in everything I do, and all my prayer turns into seeing Jesus, not meaning that he is overriding my senses, but I'm applying all of my sensory power, my mind, my intention, my thought, my emotions, my imagination of my heart, the scriptures, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and I just lean into, not lean up into. I know there is my hope. There he behind the veil, the forerunner, the high priest. And again, they're words until you start to see them. And even when you try to first see them, they're still words. So it's a practice that, you start having those moments, and he's here, and he's really here. If we knew how close he was to what he is about to sovereignly do. See, God does things sovereignly when he wants to shift and take possession of things that are in rebellion against him or separated because of other reasons or lost. But there's the forerunners, not just Jesus, but the remnant that begin to go, I know there's more, and I know we're intentionally supposed to be here, and I know there's a lot of issues going out in the internet, and a lot of disruption in the earth, and a lot of power grab and money grabs and fear grabs, but I just got to let go of that. Get away from me. I want to see Jesus. I got to see him. He hasn't changed, except he is more ready to receive the nations as his inheritance and take possession of the earth as his possession, and to judge the nations and to execute kings. And he's coming in a Messiah, as Messiah mandate. But he's so tender and so loving and so knowing where we are. It says in Hebrews 2 that, you know, we were all made a little lower than the angels, yet we were crowned with glory and honor, yet we don't see the result of that prophetic declaration, but we do see Jesus. And then we see him that he was made little lower than the angels for the suffering of death over all of us, so he could eat death that's over us, swallowed it up. And now crowned with glory and honor. So to see him crowned with glory and honor, to see him, to take the time to behold him, is where we come into the likeness. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Every time we behold him, there's a transformation. The whole sound of salvation is the sound of any of us in faith, or those of us just seeking, kind of checking it out, whether we're checking it out or we've already signed up and we're in, it still is every day. I want to think a thought I haven't been able to think. And I want to let go of thoughts I can't get rid of. I want to get free of thoughts that are destructive and are negative and are lies. And I want to get thoughts of truth and of Christ. And I want to begin to see from there. And that repentance is the focal, the expression of salvation in action. When salvation starts happening in my life, because how many know there's a lot more salvation than we're experiencing? Come on, right? There's a lot more. Just like there's some, there's just a lot more salvation. There's salvation to the uttermost through intercession that Jesus does. There's Jesus coming a second time, not to sin, but for salvation. Imagine what he's going to bring when he shows up. So there's the cornerstone, the turn point, the thought, the peripheral vision. Wow. See, when I go to pray and I read and I use the scripture, because scripture is truth, and I need the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit and truth, I will just kind of go around in circles of myself. But if the Spirit comes alive and the Scripture comes alive, I can go places I have no ability to get to. But Jesus has already made a place for me to be there. It's just I had to go and see, and a lot of times it's a peripheral. Wow. I think I'm going to go there. See, my whole day was different. I was woke up, and we get to pray. I had a little bit of time, and then our youngest daughter, granddaughter, sweetheart, got up, and Cammie had been helping Nathaniel through the night, and so I got her up, and we sat on the couch, and we had prayer meeting, which is not the way I would pray without her, but we got to watch the tenderness and the love and the kindness and the gentleness. And the Lord was saying, the reason I pour out my love into my body is because that's the first connection my body needs to know me in, is my love for them. Unconditional and continual and fervent and decided upon. And then once they start to gain that, Abba, I'm loved, I'm loved, I'm loved. I hope you feel you're loved. I hope when you close your eyes and you settle down into prayer and you get out of the ruffles and the soul settles back down and returns to rest, that you know that you're loved. And there's nothing you can do to be loved. And there's nothing you can do that will stop God's love flowing. And that love is just an assurance, because it's who God is and it's how God loved. So he gave his son, and the son loved the bride. So he said, I'm willing to die because I'm going to bring a hold people into me and stand with me. I hope you feel your love. Because once you start to gain a little bit of a sense of Abba, 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 comes the test, test, test. And when the test, test, test comes, they're testing the faith of what you've heard the Lord say, because it comes what looks like it's not true with what he said. And then the fear, fear, fear shows up. And so even though I thought I wasn't full of love, now there's a whole bunch more fear in me. Insecurity, uncertainty. I think I'm going to get in trouble. That's what fear is. And yet Hebrews 2 says that he destroyed him who had the power of death. I mean, I still can't believe that, but it's true. See, there's the beauty. It's true, but I don't believe it. But if I accept it as true, there's a chance that I might have a new thought and step out of what I don't believe, unbelief, into receiving. The devil has been made an idle player. He's active, but he has no power or ability to bring death in your life. Because Jesus now has the keys of death and Hades. He's active because how else are we going to learn Jesus without in Holy Spirit, truth, and time, believing heart, speaking mouth? Five elements of prayer. Holy Spirit, truth of the word, believing heart, speaking mouth, and time. That's where I discover. Then to learn what I discovered, I get tested. And the devil's more alert to what's going on. The spirits of this age are more aware that things are about to change in a negative fashion, yet they're enraged in insanity and thinking they can actually maybe on some days think they can maybe take over the whole thing and throw God out. And so Psalm 2, Psalm 110, Psalm 45, they're fully engaged. They're fully in place in what's playing out in the planet, in all levels, in neighborhoods, in nations. Amongst people, it's just, and yet Jesus said, when this happens, people will get, they'll start dividing in their soul, they'll start losing their mind, they'll start falling apart, they'll start being discouraged, depressed, and despondent. Or they'll lift up their head, they'll look and they'll see, and their salvation is drawing near, and they're shouting praises that this King that I've waited all my life for is showing up. That's the two differences. But it's not because of the pressure, it's because of the person that you're beholding that allows the pressure to push you further into the person. But if there's no person that you're in pursuit of, then the pressure just makes you doubt whether the person even cares about you or loves you or is available or knows it. That's why whenever there's a test that you go through, testing brings endurance, endurance brings a sense of experience, and experience brings a new and assured hope. The thing that God says in Romans 5:5, he says, I then pour my love into your heart. See, some of us right here missed the verse 5. We've been living in verse 3 and 4 of Romans 5. We've been through the testing and then through the pressure, the patience, and through the experience, and we get flickers of hope, but then we start the circle again. And yet, I just think, I want to say this, I believe the Holy Spirit says, I've got love I have to pour into your heart you didn't let me pour in at the last test and the test before that. And you didn't let me love you. You didn't let the love of God pour into your heart through my spirit. I'm all over you. You went back into, oh, I got to watch this. I don't want to get in that same place again. I don't want that to happen to me one more time. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to come up with a better plan. I'm going to learn how to do this better. No, just let go. There's a love. God's love. God's so loved. God so loves. God is intentional in love. Is that bearing witness to anybody? Am I just speaking? Then raise up your hands. Let's receive this. Let's not say he wants to and then go on and do something else. Holy Spirit, you are commanded by Jesus to love us in the love that God has for us in Christ. It's inseparable. No trial, no test, no devil, no height, no anything can separate us. And yet we have been separated. We want to increase. Fill us. Fill us with your love. Baptize us. Heal us. Change us. This comes after a divorce. This comes after a bankruptcy. This comes after the failures of testing, not just the successes of testing. Receive. Love. If it says he pours his love into our heart through the Holy Spirit who's given to us, I may not believe that, but it's still true. So if I linger under those words, acknowledging I don't know how to believe that or even receive it, but I receive that it's true. I acknowledge this is words of God according to the scripture. In the testing, the hope I have been given does not disappoint. Because God's love has been poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit given to me. and I receive the love of God being poured into my heart. I receive the love of God being poured in my heart. Would you say that? I receive the love of God being poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit given me. I receive the love of God poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit given to me. I receive the love of God poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit given to me. I receive the love of God poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit given me. Okay, it's about to hit. I receive the love of God poured into my heart through the Holy Spirit given me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You do love us. Yeah. Oh, yes, Lord. You see, we forget that the truth of the scripture is just half of the transmittal. The Spirit is active to make the truth tangible. If you have just truth and no Spirit, you just get legalistic and thinking it's about this or that. But if you just have Spirit and truth, you lose your place. When it comes to testing, you don't know how to hold your place. You can go, I'm going to get back in the Spirit. No, you're going to be sucked into the soul before you know it. The only thing that the devil understands is it is written. He does not understand that, oh, you're a special person that God gave a prophecy to. He comes after you on that. He says, prove it then. Then you go, and it's just so, oh, but the scripture. It says that in Ephesians chapter 3, that God, who is the Father of all the family, both in heaven and earth, under the name and under the auspices and under the image of the Christ, that from the riches of his glory, there's so much glory here. From the riches of his glory, he would strengthen us with might through the Holy Spirit. So if you think of the majesty on high, Jesus at his right hand, rod of iron, breaking things in pieces, strength of his hand to go forth, people volunteering spontaneously as his power begins to demonstrate. You think of that whole place. And the Lord, the Father, says, oh, my family on the earth, they're being tested and trained and learning to hold my words and believe what I said and not let go of what I'm saying when things are going wrong and not disagreeing and not accusing me. But I know that that's just something they can't sustain themselves. They just can't say, oh, okay, I'm just going to always believe that. No, they will not believe that. They need help. Holy Spirit, over there. There's some riches in that portion of my who I am, what I carry, my love, my faith, my victory, my triumph in my Son. There he is, the face. Now I want you to take that from the riches of my glory. I want you to come and pull the strength and the might and the dunamis. And I want you to come and I want you to put it into their inner man, spirit man. Heart, I want you to infuse them. You go, well, why? So Christ can dwell in our heart by faith. You see, we need help by Holy Spirit to live by faith. It's not, you see, otherwise it's soul. I believe these words. I'm going to believe these words. I'm going to apply my will. I'm not going to let them change. I'm going to use my emotions to feel them and experience them. And boy, I've done that. It's a loopy loop. Make you go crazy. The worst thing for a believer to do is touch the Spirit, be touched, spoken to by the truth, begin to engage, and then try to produce it in the soul. It'll make you think you lost your brain. I mean, you weren't made. Do I look like Jesus? I mean, who am I? Who are you? You're nobody. Except you're loved by God. You're accepted in the Beloved. You have a place that cannot be erased. You have a title, a name, a position. You have inheritance. You have calling, but not outside of Jesus. Without Jesus, you can do zip. Zip. And yet we get up every morning and act like it's all up to us. If we really believed that we could do nothing without Jesus, we would, for every one of us, to the degree we would believe, we would start the day by giving God the best of our day to say, God, I can't do anything without you, so here is my best. Please do the rest. See, that's where then the tangibleness comes. The tangibles. You guys, I'm pushing prayer not because we need prayer to get help. Save America. I'm not even interested in that at this moment. I'm interested in kingdom heaven, King Jesus, taking dominion and rescuing billions of souls that are lost in darkness. And it's not governmental darkness. It's soulish media. It's my new term for social media, soulish media. It's just the soul. Soul, 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 soul. And the soul goes, it's like an agitated dog. I just didn't know what to do. Stop. Stop. There's only one who has your future. It's Jesus. He is your future. He is my calling. He is my identity. He is everything. And if he calls me to die for his glory, I hope to God that I can be like Stephen and go, look, heaven's open. The glory of God's showing. There's the Son of Man. I see the Son of Man. You're not going to get that from Fox News. Sorry. You're not going to get that on the internet from the prophetic. The only person going to talk like that is Holy Spirit about Jesus. Now, he wants to talk to every one of us. I'm not against all of the support that's out there, but the support becomes the deterrent when it becomes the winds of doctrine. Tossing everybody. Nobody knows where to look. Look over here. Look over there. Jesus made it very explicit. Don't let someone say, I'm over here, and go chase me. Kingdom's inside. And when I do show, trust me, the whole sky is going to see. Be like lightning. But you see, beloved, I'm almost done. You're chosen by God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show forth the praises of God. Individual members, one of another. Each of you have a place. Each of you have a position in Christ and a calling and a being brought forth. And God says, I want to fill these people with power because I want Jesus to dwell in their heart. I don't want it to be an intellectual thing. I don't want it to be something that they're using their mind to hold and their emotions to sustain and their will to keep in place. I don't want that soul stuff. We'll save the soul through the faith of their life in me. But they need to have a heart in belief, and they need to have Jesus in their heart. And they can't just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Change me forever. 45 years ago and one day, I did that. But if I hadn't, in the desperation of and the desire and the need to press through every day to say, I've got to touch this one I touched, I wouldn't be here. But here he is. He goes and says, all right, I need you to have a tangible dwelling power of my Son in your heart, in your inner man, so that you can have Christ dwelling in your heart by faith. You can practice that. You can learn that. That's not something that's just for some people. It's for the whole entire body of Jesus Christ. Every member is going to be going, I am aware that I am inside of Christ and the union of Christ is inside of me. I am aware that the fullness of the Godhead bodily is dwelling in my little bodily form, and I am part of the member of his body, and I'm inside the fullness of him who fills all in all. And this Jesus is a resurrected, glorified king. He sits not on Capitol Hill. He sits on the holy hill of Zion. And he is the king of all the earth. You see, we can't fight on this level if we're going to win. We're going to rise up to the authority we've been given. Why do the nations rage? Why do the people plot vain things? Why do the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his Messiah? Because man's in rebellion. It doesn't have to politicize it to recognize a rebellion heart. I don't want you to rule over me. Sorry. I'm free to do whatever I want to do because I'm free. And I determine who I am and I get to say what I want to say. God just sits there and he goes, oh no, oh no, oh no. What are we going to do? We're going to get more prayer in the earth. Oh no, we're losing the battle on the earth. No, he sits there going, whoa, that's funny. Then he takes the little finger and dwiddles around and it's not working, I can't get a caucus. And then he speaks in his wrath, puts a little force into the issue, and distresses everything in great displeasure. And then we start to cycle again. But there's a body of believers, members, one of another. They're just saying, I'm coming out of the cycle of human struggle, and I'm returning myself to the one who won the war and lives in the undeniable kingdom. And because he is my king, I will worship him. And now because he's my king, I can love all men. I don't have to become a part of any entity to become a part of Jesus, but from in Christ, I can love all men. I can look around and go, there's a salvation coming. There's a deliverance coming. There's a whole exodus from every entity on the earth is about to be visited by the glory of God and Jesus Christ stepping into people who said, you know what? We're fine. No thanks. We don't need God. He needs to say, that's fine, but you're not fine. And yes, thank you. You need me. We're there. But it's the people like us that are saying, I know this is crazy to disengage from the war on the earth and reengage in the worship of the heavens and behold the man seated and to let the influence of truth begin to affect me. So Christ dwells in my heart by faith. I can be rooted and grounded in love. You don't know what that means to a man so afraid as me. Born of immigrant parents, strung out on drugs from when I was 13, messed my mind up in ways that never should have messed up. Father who grew up in Germany, had to fight in the war, didn't speak English. Well, I had everything wrong with me. And you get saved, nothing changes. Go get yourself healed all you want, but your soul is your soul, it's me. And I can be in courtship with Jesus. And he takes me. But then, like the Shulamite, my soul gets a hold of a freaky moment, fearful thought, an emotion I'm not ready, something I don't know what to do, and it takes me like a chariot, and I go running in the opposite direction. And I used to be so condemning of myself. Why did I do that? I just think, oh, there, I just did a Steve. There was me in full glory. But I don't live there. I just go, well, I've been there, done that, don't need to do it again. I'm out of it. Let's come back in. That's what prayer is. That's the union. And there's going to be a people. You see, it's Elijah moment. From an Elijah to an Elijah anointing, you're going to have a lot of voices saying, hey, did you know this? Did you know that? Did you know the prophet's leaving? Did you know things are changing? Did you know we're in a different season? Did you know this? Did you know? And Elijah has one idea. I want to see where the man of God is going. Because what the man of God is about to do, I want what he's got, and I'm going to get what he's spoken to me. Now, for you and me, the man of God is Jesus. He's Jesus. He's Jesus. He's not a man. He's Jesus. And don't let anybody tell you, you cannot have a relationship with Jesus in his high priestly, kingly anointing seated at the majesty, that you cannot see the eyes of fire and hear the voice of many waters and the tongue, this two-edged sword that pierces and divides and separates soul from spirit, thoughts, intentions. Oh! I love the Bible. It's the book. It's not instructions. It's encounters. It's encounters. So I can hear Kathleen say, I had this encounter with the Lord. And he knelt like a husband proposing. And he said, I humble myself. I propose to you. We're engaged. And then all of that just unlocking, unlocking, unlocking. And she's talking to me and telling me her vision, and I'm having the vision she's talking to me about. Because that's how it is. The Holy Spirit's one spirit. Amen. One spirit, transferable, and anyone who's got an ear to hear, they'll start hearing what he's saying when someone's saying what he heard. That's what the testimony of Jesus is. 45 years ago, I was miraculously saved from all that had held me captive. And for 45 years, I continue my journey into Christ. But what's my testimony? Not where I came out of. It's who I've encountered. That's the strength that we carry. Beloved, Elijah said, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion. I want a double portion. He said, you've asked the hard thing. Nevertheless, if you can see me when I leave, you'll have it. If not, you don't. Do you imagine how Elijah, I don't mean to be rude, but you know, you may be going to the bathroom. It's okay. I'll keep you private, but listen, I want to know where you are. If you leave, I want to be here. That's the kind of intensity. You see, I know you guys. I know so many of you. I can feel your spirits. We're not here because we're trying to make church work and happy homes and happy lives and happy wives. We're here because something's stirring in the earth. And the movement of the planet is the disruption, the upheavals, the confusion, the chaos, the fear, the sins that's blossoming, blossoming, blossoming. And yet we hear this, the Lord has declared a decree. I put my king on my holy hill of Zion, and the Lord has declared the decree. The Lord spoke, you are my son, today I've begotten you. And we're going, you know, this is the sound. I want to get that sound inside of me. I want to close my eyes, and when I go to pray, and see the future, not the past. I want to feel the presence. I want to be swept in your love, and I want to allow you to change me. I want to allow you to heal me. I want to allow you to touch me. I want to allow you. No, and as long as I live in this flesh, I will have battles, because the flesh, the days of your flesh, is you have vulnerability, accessibility for hell to test you so that faith can save you. And all you need to do is another word from God, another moment in the Spirit, another joy of the moment, another place. And nobody can stop you. No one can keep you. You can't sin bad enough on Friday night to not be able to be with God on Saturday morning. We've got to get over this. We've got to say, the only thing that's keeping me from my victory is unbelief. And the only unbelief that's really my problem is I don't believe enough in Jesus. And I don't give him the preeminence in the place. But because I don't have to believe, I just want to receive the truth. How many believe or would acknowledge that there is so much of the truth of Christ, the scriptures, and the power of the Holy Spirit we haven't yet experienced? And how many would agree that your soul is not the one that's going to get it all? It's like, you know, it's just like an iPhone. I mean, barely gets a connection. But how many believe if Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also, that he's prepared a place for you and me? And if he says, that place is prepared, and this is how you'll understand it, you'll hear my words and spirit will speak. The spirit will come where I hear my words. You'll value what I say. You'll guard it. You'll meditate it. You'll come in there. How many believe if he said that, that's possible? Possible. How many believe that if he said, without me, you can do nothing? Then anything we do without him is nothing. Even if we make $1 million, it's still nothing. But with me and my word abiding in you, you can ask anything and it'll be done for you. And my Father will be glorified. What a reason to bow the knee, to give God an extra hour in the morning, to fumble through that awkward stage. You know, it's like a first date. Well, how's the world going, Jesus? You don't have my prayer life. It took me 45 years to get here. But you can have your prayer life. In the first 45 minutes, it'll be Sam, sealed, and you'll be there. And the force that's about to flow is going to take those just beginning and put them in the forefront of the future, jettison into new places, new faith, new understanding, new grace, new experience. So we got to pray because it's lunchtime. Thank you so much for letting me just be a vessel and just share what the Lord's heart. You are so valuable. You didn't know. Devil's root come hard against your life because he recognizes Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And he's heard those words that have been spoken, and he's seen the commitments you've made, and he's recognized that he has to disrupt the connection. He has to disrupt the connection. If he can disrupt the connection, he has a hope that the battery will run out and there'll be no more emption to keep going. But we connected today. Let's connect again. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. You're King. Every word that Jesus ever speaks is not idle words. They are prophetic, eternal scriptures, life forever. Holy. And when I want to return, I worship holy. Come on, turn and worship. I worship you holy. Jesus, you are all. Gage, there's about to be some help from heaven to help each of us in our journey. I hear the Lord saying, invite me in where you have need of me. Invite me in where you hear me knocking. Invite me in and I will come in a new level, in a new experience, in greater truth, in more spirit, and I will dwell in your heart by faith. Invite me in where you need me. Invite me in where you hear I'm knocking, and I will come and dwell with you, sup with you, fellowship with you. I will bring you into me, and all that I have accomplished will be yours. And all that the Father has is mine, and I will announce by my Spirit all that is yours in me. You are not in a desperate place, except when you're desperate for me. Then all things shift. Invite me in. Invite me in. Invite me in. Before we close, and I'll do it, but just where would you like Jesus to come into your life right now? Tell him, I invite you into this point of need. I invite you into this place. I hear you knocking. I open the door. Come on in. Whoa. Just let it become enough tangible that you can go back to this place in prayer. Because tomorrow or later today, God will show up in this very place of invitation. He's not coming to show off. He's coming to live, to dwell. Somebody's going along. I don't want you in one place. I want you in every place. I'm opening my whole entire life right now. I am locking everything. I just come on in, come in. That's why we're paused. They're waiting for a moment. There is a rush of heaven coming into hearts right now. By Spirit, in riches of glory, strengthening inner man's. Oh, Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, seal where our faith has now mixed with words. Seal that we might return here in our time of prayer at our next appointment and grow up inside the sound, inside the words, inside the truth, inside the place. Oh God, oh wow. You stay still for a moment. There's a new upgrade in operating systems. You think Apple has to keep up on the operating system. Heaven's always upgrading, closing threats, removing viruses, dismantling thought patterns. Wow. I receive heaven's newest operating system for the believer on the planet. I receive the heart system of believing. The spirit man of union, communion, and oneness. The access through Spirit of God. I receive truth. Under him. Oh, the beloved. We are loved. We are loved. Thank you that we can have one of the most intimate, deep, transformative moments in the Spirit, in truth, in worship. And then, like the early church, pause, linger, and go on and have an agape meal, a love feast. And that's what we're asking for today, a love feast. More than food and more than just friends gathering around whatevers, but the saints, the citizens of heaven, eating together on earth, speaking of the things of God, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord, being thankful in all things. We release this atmosphere into the meal to carry on into our homes, into our businesses, to our neighborhoods, and to all of our assignments. We bless everyone who works so hard to make this meal. We pray you would cause a fruitfulness in lives and miracles in their homes and breakthroughs in their current journey. And we thank you for Larry and Melanie as they begin to carry us again in our commitment to pray for the nations, that you will anoint their intercession over the nations, and that you will cause us as one glorious body to grow and glow and come up into the head, and then to pour out love one to another. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you agree with all of this, say amen. Amen. Amen.